Okay, thank you, folks. Open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. We're going to try to finish up chapter 3 if you listen fast enough. That's what's going to be the key now. We have to review a little bit. By the way, I thought I ought to warn you. I'm teaching the book of Daniel in college, and we're fixing to have a semester examination real soon. So we might just bring the papers right on into the adult class and see how you do. I scare some of you off in a hurry, wouldn't I? Not really. Daniel chapter 3, we've come to the time now of Daniel having interpreted the king's dream, which all of his intellectuals could not do. And that dream carried with it the interpretation, the prediction of all the world kingdoms right on up to our time and past. You remember the dream? It was the image of what we think was a soldier, starting with a head of gold and going on down to the feet mixed with iron and clay. And of course, that's the days we live in. We don't have a world kingdom per se, like Kingdom of Babylon and Kingdom of Medes and Persians or Rome or Greece, but we have the time when the toes and the clay are mixed together on the bottom of the image. And it's at that time that the stone cut out of the mountain without hands, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, comes and smites the image on the feet and brings it all down. Now, we have a lot of sayings that come from the Bible. A lot of folks don't understand where they come from, but you've heard this one before. Well, everybody's got feet of clay. Means everybody's got a weakness somewhere. And, of course, this image here of all the governments stacked together, built up through the history, they have feet of clay. And it's during this confused time. In fact, the Bible says in Luke, it'll be a time when the nations are perplexed. They don't know the way out. They're mixed up. They don't know the answer. You don't have to watch much news to know they don't have the answers today. Worldwide, not just America, but worldwide. And it's in that time that the Lord is going to set up his kingdom that the book of Daniel tells us will there will be no end to it. It'll go forever and ever. And now we've moved into chapter 3, and we've moved into a time after Daniel has interpreted the dream. We don't know for sure, but it's a possibility that King Nebuchadnezzar had an image built because of the dream that he saw. Now, he was fairly proud of himself. You find that out as you go through the book. And then God had to deal with him in his pride. Before it's over with, we'll get to that. But he may have made that image thinking, being a little bit proud. And he made a rule concerning the image that when you hear the sound of music, you got to bow down and worship the image. And it is a type of what the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, will do yet in the future. And even if you look at it close in the picture of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had, you can even find the three sixes of the Antichrist, his number 666, Revelation 13. And you find that Nebuchadnezzar here, when he set up this image, the height was 60 cubits. That's 60. The breadth was 6 cubits. You got two sixes there. Then he has 6 kinds of music that make a sound. He had a real orchestra there. And as they played, everybody was supposed to hear the music and bow down. So in a sense, you can even find the three sixes involved. But here was a problem. Some of the Jew boys didn't bow. They knew who the true God was. Now, I want you to notice something about this. Nebuchadnezzar didn't mind them having their God along with his. And you know, the missionaries find this all the time. On the heathen fields, as we would call them, so many of them have gods, and they'll add Jesus to it. But when you say, no, he's the only one. By the way, America has come to that now. We're in the place right now, they don't mind what you worship, just don't tell them that you have the right one and they have the wrong one. That part they can't stand. There's one verse in the Bible that hurts them probably above all others, and that's John 14:6, where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, that's pretty exclusive. I mean, Jesus said, I'm the way. Not one of many ways, but the way, the only way. And that'll get you in trouble today. You'll notice if you watch any stuff on TV, ball games, political meetings, you'll notice they're quick to get up and ask God's blessing, but they don't like to hear the name Jesus. And I judge these guys that are in public prayer often as to whether or not they got the courage to say in Jesus' name or for Christ's sake or something that identifies Jesus as God. And a lot of them won't do that. I was invited not too long ago to we'd call it a political, not really a political meeting, but politics and governing board. And they wanted me to come and open up in prayer form. And that's good. That's good. A lot of them on the board were Christians, and it's good that they wanted to be opened up in prayer. But knowing how it is today, I went about 5 minutes early, and I walked in, and I found the chairman, the head man. I said, I want you to understand something. I'm glad to come pray, but I end all my prayers in Jesus' name. I want you to know that up front. He said, preacher, that's fine with me. He said, somebody may fuss, but he said, you pray like you want to, and I did. And so I praise the Lord for that, but I'm saying that's where we've come today, that you've got to have qualifications on something like that. I know a preacher, they called him, a big meeting on TV, and they asked him to pray, and they gave him the restriction. Now, you can't pray a secular prayer. Now, that's code for you can't pray in Jesus' name. He said, I want you to know I do pray in Jesus' name, and if you want me to pray, I'll come that way and no other way. And they didn't let him come. So that's where we have moved to in a nation that claimed God as our founder and our forefathers and all that. Well, here was the issue in this chapter 3 of Daniel. The issue is a contest of the gods. You see, Nebuchadnezzar wants them to bow down to his gods. He's already named these boys after his god. He named Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's all names after the false gods of Babylon. But what he named them on the outside didn't change them on the inside. They had the true God in their heart, and they wouldn't deny him. So as I look at it here, they didn't bow. Now, if you went to the last verse or two of chapter 2, you'd find out, because of Daniel's interpretation of the dream, and because he brought his friends, the young men that stood with him, along also, that they'd all been promoted up in the affairs of the government of Babylon. So here they were up there in high positions under Nebuchadnezzar, but just like today, there was a lot of jealousy in the rest of his staff, a lot of jealousy in the rest of his government. And so they were waiting their time, those that was envious of these Jews being placed over them, they were waiting their time to catch them doing something they could report on. And so they must have been watching them pretty close. Out of all the thousands, they spotted these three boys that didn't bow when the music played. So they come report it to King Nebuchadnezzar. And says, certain Jews, in verse 12 of chapter 3, whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship thy golden image which thou hast set up. Now they come quickly to report tattle to the king. And Nebuchadnezzar had quite a bit of ego and pride, so in verse 13 you see him getting mad. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? He's given them a chance to lie out of it, I guess you'd say, but they don't take that chance. Verse 15, now if you be ready at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, okay, you do that. But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now here's the part I know I'm reviewing, but here's what I want you to get. I've got it underlined heavily in my Bible. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? It's a contest of gods. Which God has the most power? So Nebuchadnezzar throws it out. Who's the God going to deliver you from me? And that's the setting of the picture. And boy, one of the greatest answers you find in the Bible of character is right here in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They didn't say, well, let us go a couple of nights and pray about it. They didn't say, let us go counsel with our friends. No, they said, we don't even have to be that careful. We already know what the answer is. And look what they say. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, what a powerful statement. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Boy, and Nebuchadnezzar hears that answer. And by the way, they haven't to give it publicly. The accusers, I'm sure, are there. I'm sure there's a whole pile of dignitaries there in the government that's listening to this. And part of probably what makes old Nebuchadnezzar so mad is he's being embarrassed publicly. These guys are on his payroll, and they're telling him they won't do what he said do. And so his pride, his image, all of that, says he was full of fury. And against them. So verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vestige, his looks was changed against Shadrach, and said it was changed. In other words, he's looking on them favorable before, but not now. He'd promoted them before, but not now. So he changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Now, I don't know if there's any real meaning in it. Seven's a great number in the Bible. It's a number of completion. Seven deals with a lot of things. It deals with the sabbatical year with the Jews, which is really big. And I think it deals with the 7-year tribulation period yet to come, Daniel's 70th week. It's a number that's thrown around quite a bit, and I think there's a lot of prophecy involved in it and a good number to study. But 7 times more, verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning furnace. Then these men, these three boys now, Hebrew boys, were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, if you go on down to verse 23, it seems like that they were able to be cast down into it. Because you read here in verse 23, and it says, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fire furnace. Now, probably also, and I'm imagining, it might not be this way, but if you had a grandstand higher, you could come near looking down into the pit of the furnace. I'm assuming that might have been it. I don't know. However, God did give him sight to see within it, whether it was from up a higher perch and looking down. And 7 times hotter cost the men their lives that threw them in here. And it says in verse 22, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now we're going to move up on some verses that I'm a stickler for staying with nothing but the old King James Bible that God has blessed and used. And I show you so many times where the new versions bring in an error. Here's a case right here. The new versions often steal from some real solid truths. One of them, of course, is the supernatural ability of the Bible to predict. And the other has to do quite often with getting away from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ or the miraculous. And here the miraculous is attacked in many versions. And I don't I don't believe a word needs to be changed in the King James Bible. And I believe when it is, you often find the devil brings in an error. And here's the thing. I've said this before. You men that are carpenters, you know, if you build a house and you get something out of square, you will continue to run into that as you go building the house. Just an inch, you'll notice it later. Some of you wouldn't know this, and I won't point it out because I don't want you looking for it. But I can stand here and look at the back of the auditorium and remember when this place was built. And they got a little something wrong back there. Just a little something wrong, about 2 inches. I still see it because I know it was there. And you know what they had to do for it? Every now and then when we build something else, they had to compensate for that 2 inches they got out on the design of the front of the building. Now, I'll probably come in here next week and you'll have tape measures and microscopes out there and you'll be hunting it, but you won't find it. We've covered it some, but we know it was there. And the same truth shows up in changing the Word of God. Change it one place, you mess it up in another. Another reference gets messed up because you change one back here. It's a chain link, and God, I think's in that. I think He put it together in just such a way that He plans to trip people up that think they can improve on His Word. I take a hard stand on that, and I believe I'm right. I'll show you an example of it right here. He's throwing them in the fire furnace now, and Nebuchadnezzar, in verse 24, sees something strange. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast 3 men bound in the midst of the fire? Question mark. They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And here's where the change comes. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now notice something. That's a singles out something. It's not, when we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying He's the only one. We don't say a Lord, we say the Lord, because we're identifying Him. So you got this part of the speech here that says, like the, and then you got a capital S on Son, the Son of God. Now, a lot of your new versions will change that. They won't say the Son of God, they'll say like a, the lay. Well, you got many things that are called sons of God. If you're born again in Jesus Christ, you are a son of God, John chapter 1. But the Son of God is different. So here they change this particle, and they put A. Then they take the capital S off of Son, and they just put a little S on it. You say, well, that's not much. It just changes the truth. Changes whether or not this one in the fire with these 3 boys was God or not. See, that's the difference. Now, I've stuck on that a few times, and the little A's, and it's stealing a miracle away. And I've had this thrown up to me. In fact, I had a so-called Greek professor come in my office after I'd said something about this many years ago. And he was older than me, and you'd have been proud of me. I was respectful, but nobody changed me. And he come in to correct me on this and a couple other places where I'd stood up for the reading of the King James. And so here was his argument. Well, this old heathen king could not have known that was Jesus Christ. So that's why he said just a son of God, any son of God. I said, do you reckon God might have supernaturally revealed it to him? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, the same God that could keep the smell of smoke off their clothes had the power to speak to that old king's heart. And if you read the rest of the book of Daniel, he did speak to his heart. And I said, God wanted the testimony preserved. It was Jesus in the fire. He was the fourth man in the fire. Even songwriters get it right. The fourth man in the fire. And the truth of the matter is, you change a truth when you start playing with the words. You say, well, what about the original manuscripts? Well, in the first place, you've never seen one. They don't exist. Help yourself. They don't exist. So you can get something to read any way you want to. But God has blessed this one down through the ages. And it preserves the truth. Look, I'm kind of biased. I want Jesus to get all the glory that belongs to him. Don't you? You say, well, it could be the way. No, not in him get all the glory. Not make him deity like he is. God incarnate in the flesh. And by the way, fellows that studied much theology in college or wherever, we have in the Bible appearances of Jesus before he was born in the manger. You do understand that, don't you? We call it a theophany, the appearance of God in the flesh. For instance, who do you think the captain was that showed up when Joshua was fixing to go to battle? He was the Lord of hosts, amen? I think the angel that wrestled with Jacob all night was the Lord Jesus Christ. Good possibility. And you have several other occasions in the Bible, what we call a theophany. So God was not at the expense of losing a miracle. Jesus showed up here, got recognition for it, and God's people down through all these years have continued to believe that Jesus was the fourth man in the fire. It was only when the new version started coming out that they started making these changes. And yet it'll trap them every time. I won't get into it too much. I could show you several places that is true. And why don't I just show you one? Maybe I just show you one. Go to Mark chapter 1. This is so easy to see. It's one of the reasons I'm going to go there. Mark chapter 1. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go to Mark. Mark. Verse 1, Mark says, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the, capital S, Son of God. Verse 2, as it is written in the prophets, King James says, as it is written in the prophets with an S, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. God sets traps like this sometimes. For instance, the New International Version reads like this, as it is written in Isaiah. King James is written in the prophets with an S on it. NIV says, and some others, says written in Isaiah. Now here's what traps them. The quote's not from Isaiah. It's not there at all. The quote, of course, here is from Malachi. See how God sets traps for people that tamper with his word? Got to watch out for that. He sees you coming before you get there. He sees the unbelief in your heart and sets up a trap for you. I probably told you this before, but I used that one time in a sermon. And there was a guy using the wrong version, and he got so mad at me. When the service was over, he come up red in the face, raising sand at me. I said, brother, I didn't write it. I didn't write the King James, and I sure didn't write that perversion you got in your hand. And, well, it don't matter. I said, it just matters whether it's true or not. You say in Isaiah, when the quote's not even from Isaiah, when God says prophets, he was speaking of two. Just amazing how folks get mad, though, when you step on an idol. It's amazing how it just upsets them when you hit that sacred cow. And you can do it every now and then. I do it sometime on purpose, to be honest. I have done it accidentally, but I often have done it on purpose. But anyway, I get off of that. Notice here, though, we're still in this contest to the gods. So Nebuchadnezzar accurately identifies the fourth man in the fire is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fire furnace and spake. I bet he didn't get too near. He'd already seen what happened to his servants that threw him in. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. Now, he's about to come around to find out who the Most High God is, isn't he? Because he'd already asked him, who is that God that's going to deliver you? You don't worship my gods? Who you think's going to be more powerful than them? Whose God's going to deliver you from that? And boy, he's getting an answer to his question. He sure is. And he calls them the most, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. Now, wouldn't that have been something to see that? You know, when I get to heaven and God says, what video would you like to watch? I got several favorites. I just go in that room and punch a button now. I'm just playing around. But I'd like to see that one, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like to see them walk out of that furnace with no smell of smoke on them? No, the fire hadn't even singed them. And it told us how heavy dressed they were. They had all this clothing on them, and it's not even smoking. My. Read on down with me just a little bit. Come forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together. There's quite a view, quite a crowd of witnesses. Saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Now, I don't know how often we use that word singed, but I grew up hearing Grandma use it. She used a lot of King James words. And most of you know what that is, don't you? If I ask you to raise your hand, how many of you have been singed? I suspect some of you have. I have too. Taught me not to trust all my staff members one time. We was trying to get an old dump truck going, and I was up on the fender, and a certain fellow whose name I won't use hit the starter when he shouldn't have and sparked a fire under the hood. And you remember that, don't you, Kevin? I got singed good. It wasn't Kevin. We had to go around here with some bandages on for a little while, myself and another man too. But we know what singeing is. And let me see if I can keep playing with this just a minute. How many of you ever plucked a chicken? All right, how many of you also singed him to get the fine ones off, amen? Well, you know what I'm talking about, amen? All right, teaching you science this morning. Anyway here, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire. Now, that's where we'd say the smell of smoke had passed on. That's a big miracle. How many of you remember when you flew in an airplane and you got off smelling like smoke? I'm thankful they don't let them do that anymore. And before the airplane riding, when I was a kid, I remember Greyhound buses. Anybody ever had to ride them things? Ooh, it was bad back then. Anyway, we understand what that's talking about. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, he's beginning to move to this place of conversion now. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel. And you say, it says angel there, not the Son of God. Angel means appearance and messenger, both. And that's what Jesus is sometime in the Bible. He's a messenger and he's an appearance. He's called the angel of the Lord a number of times in the scripture. When it's talking about Jesus, it'll speak of him as being the angel of the Lord. Now, if you understand the word carries with it messenger, but it also carries with it appearance. So in a sense, you understand the Lord then is appearing. And here, this is an accurate word and the right word. His angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word. Now you got to understand what he means by that, and have changed the king's word. You got to understand that the law of the Medes and Persians couldn't be changed. King's word. You'll find this later as we get in the book. You'll find out it couldn't be changed. You have the story in the Bible in the book of Esther, where when the king gave out the word to exterminate all the Jews, genocide of the Jews, you remember how that then when he wanted to change it, he couldn't change it. He couldn't call it back. It was done. But what he did was make another law to allow the Jews to fight back. And of course, you remember the story there. But this is important when he says, have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. I think he's found out something. And we'll find as we go further in the book that Nebuchadnezzar does seem to have a conversion as God deals with him, and especially deals with him over his pride. But not worship any god except their own God. And we're really coming full circle around in the world today, back to the same contest that we see here between the king of Babylon and these Jew boys. We're coming back today to this very, very same place. I said it a while ago about prayers. Watch for that. You'll find it. You'll find it everywhere. And you'll find subtle jabs being made everywhere you look concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, against him. And this is the way that it was here. It will be that way, is that way, and gaining on it all the time in the world today. Anything amiss, now he's saying here, I make a decree that every people, nations, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. My, what a testimony he's being now. I think about it today. Today, Islam speaks against the Lord. Look out for some of their trickery in their speech. Heard a fellow saying on TV not long ago, well, the Quran says more about Jesus than it does Muhammad. Yeah, but what does it say about him? Says he wasn't the Son of God. Says he wasn't crucified on a cross. Don't just let somebody trick you with statements like that. Know what it says. And of course, that's the big thing today. Against the Lord Jesus Christ, and no God but Allah, and all that business. The truth of the matter is, one day, when the smiting stone comes and hits the image on the feet, the whole world is going to find out who the true God. When he sets up his kingdom, that'll last forever and ever. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They'd done pretty good. They come out of the fire furnace and got a raise. Got a promotion. All right, Brother Herman.